Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. Today, I want to talk about a variety of items. Number one, I want to talk about the market, the mortgage real estate market. And I'm going to do that a little later in the show. But first, I want to talk about mortgage bonds, mortgage-backed securities, which is where mortgage interest rates come from. And there's been a lot of news lately. The Fed's met and last couple weeks ago. Anyway, they released their minutes. The minutes are a big deal. They're meeting again in a week or two. So the minutes create a lot of what will happen in the market. But let's talk about just the basics of the mortgage-backed security bond market. The mortgage-backed security bond market is where mortgages are traded. So when you do a mortgage, the mortgage goes to let's say you do a conventional mortgage. So the conventional mortgage goes to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae or the Federal Home Loan Bank. And then the mortgage, and then they sell the mortgage as bonds. So they put them together, they sell them as bonds, and they sell them on the mortgage-backed security bonds market. And what they sell for, that's where our rates are going to come from. We know that's what they're going for, so that's where rates are. So we get pricing based on what those rates are what those are selling for at those rates. And that's how the market works. So it really matters when you're looking at mortgage-backed securities. You can really tell and get a pretty good idea of what's happening in the market, at least at the time. Of course, everybody wants to see the future, and everybody wants to kind of get an idea of what's going to happen in the future in mortgage rates. And it's a little easier to tell sometimes, in the next few days, but even then there can be big swings. And it's very difficult then to tell long term, although there is some indications based on what's going on. And that market, that mortgage bond market, is driven, not only by what the Feds do, that's a huge piece of it, but it's all the economic news and the world strife and those type of things, the geopolitical news that's out there. All of that can have a negative effect or a positive effect on mortgage rates. Even major weather systems can actually create issues. Say knocks out some oil refineries, so there's going to be inflation in gasoline and oil related products. So inflation is the arch enemy of bonds. So anytime inflation is a problem, generally you're going to see mortgage rates increase, and they're going to increase because of the inherent difference, the way that the two work together or actually work against each other. So you have to always remember that's the situation, that's the way it works. Inflation, let's talk about that right now, because that's one of the things the Feds came out and said. They think that inflation has hit their target. Now, remember, they changed their target to 2% on an average of 2%. Our last inflation numbers were 5.4%, but that's the number, and they're looking at an average, and they think that with that 5.4%, now we're going to, over time, average 2% inflation. And we've all seen this inflation. You've seen the gas prices go up. We've seen basically everything, go up. So we can tell in our daily lives that inflation has kicked in, and that inflation is negative to mortgage rates. So what you would think with this inflation kicking in, along with the employment numbers, are another big piece of this. So you look at the employment numbers, and they talk about the unemployment rate, but they're leaving out a tremendous amount of people in the unemployment rate. The they're saying that we have an unemployment rate. I think it was 4.8% or 5.2% or something. I didn't write it down. I apologize for that. But that number is low, but the number is kind of skewed because of all of the people who are getting money because of, you know, being out of work because of COVID. So there's 10 million people. So that is a big piece of it. The actual unemployment rate, based on the numbers I've looked at, looks like it's really around 18, almost 19%. Not the real low number they're talking about. But politically, nobody ever wants to talk about a higher number. It's bad for the politics of things. So you've got an unemployment rate that they're looking at, which is pretty reasonable. You've got inflation, which is very high, but they're saying is where they want it. And normally what we would see is mortgage rates going up. We would have thought mortgage rates would have already gone up, but they actually have not. They've actually dropped a little bit. Mortgage rates are some of the best we've seen in forever. So rates are still very, very good. Certain ones are better than others. So, you know, 15 years are as good as they've ever been. The 30 years are a little higher than they were, but all in all, they're still incredibly low. The average rate over the last 30 years is 8.4%. And we're talking about rates well below that, well below anything that, you know, really we've seen in such a long time. So rates are still phenomenal, and they haven't gone up because of what the feds are buying, a tremendous amount of mortgage-backed securities. They have been buying somewhere around $24 to $28 billion of mortgage-backed securities every week, not every month, every week. And if they taper, and this is part of what they're talking about, there's a lot of the Fed members that are coming out and they're saying, we're going to, you know, we're thinking about tapering, talking about it might be time to taper. It might be time to taper. First thing is that if they do announce a taper, it probably will be in September that they talk about it. They may come out and say they're going to do it, but the tapering wouldn't actually start to happen until December or January, most likely. But the other part of that is that what they're talking about is tapering the amount that they're buying of new, not of the reinvestment. And the reinvestment, in other words, mortgages that they've already bought that are paid off, that amount is 2.5 times greater than the amount of new investment. So when they do taper, it's not anywhere near the number that everybody's talking about and everybody's worried about. So we don't think the tapering is going to have that much effect on mortgage rates. It may kick it up a little bit. Sometimes you get the knee-jerk reactions where rates pop up real quick and then they come back down fairly quickly. But we're not expecting that to be, you know, a major rate mover. We're really expecting rates to stay in a very, very good range through the end of the year, maybe, you know, into next year, depending on exactly what happens. Another piece of this is that as these inflation numbers, they look at year over year and they look at, you know, month over month. But the year over year, as you look at your year over year, we're getting rid, you know, our inflation is showing high because we've gotten rid of months last year that were very low inflation because of COVID and the shutdown. So with that, so we've gotten rid of those. So that's one of the reasons inflation is showing higher than, you know, such a high number. As those numbers go away and we start hitting, you know, getting rid of the August, September, November numbers, that should actually bring our inflation number down. That should bring it down some considerably. It just depends on what the new numbers are, but we expect that to bring it down some. Additionally, as these, you know, one of the things about the unemployment rate is that when you don't count people that aren't looking for jobs, and there's a whole bunch of people who aren't employed who aren't looking for jobs because of the additional money that's being paid, and it's not worth going back to work because they're getting all this extra money. Well, when all those people enter the job force, if they don't all get jobs right away, then that unemployment rate, those people should then be counted. And if they actually do count those people, we could see that unemployment rate actually increase. If we see that increase, then, you know, you just don't know what the feds are going to do. They're watching these numbers, but it's so hard to tell. A lot of them, you know, a lot of the Fed members who are you know, very much into the tapering are actually starting to talk about, you know, easing up and buying less. So we could definitely see that. Bottom line is, as we look at all this, we think that we're going to see rates stay very, very similar to what they are today. In fact, one of the Fed from the Fed minutes, I thought this was kind of interesting. This is just a little blurb from the Fed meetings, from the Fed minutes. All the Fed members said the economy has made progress towards its goal, but substantial further progress has not yet been met. That was the wording. They wanted substantial further progress, and that's not been met. Some saw tapering this year in the coming months, while others said tapering should start next year. The Delta variant is a risk that could delay full opening. So if they decide that we're going to have to, you know, not have our, you know, not stay open, that could change all of this, and that could make, you know, that could make everything really, you know, quite a bit different. After the break, we're going to deep dive into today's biggest buyer concerns.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me. I truly appreciate it. We're talking about the mortgage-backed security bond market and mortgage interest rates and where they might go. And I'd read that Fed minutes, and again, I want to just the second to last sentence talk about some of the Fed members saw tapering this year in the coming months, of course, and while others said tapering should start next year. Okay, that came directly out of the minutes, and what that means and what they're saying there is they as long as nothing changes, some of the members think they should start tapering, buying less new mortgage-backed security bonds this year, and some think they should start next year. It's pretty wishy-washy in my mind what they said. So we're just going to have to wait and see what they say. We think they'll be more clear at the next meeting. And when they are, then we'll be able to give, you know, a little bit more information on that and maybe get an idea of where rates might be going at that point. Right now, I feel like, you know, until they do something, we're in pretty good shape with the volume of mortgage-backed securities they're buying. And I really don't think tapering is going to change that too much. So I really feel pretty confident that rates are going to stay in a pretty good area.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I was talking to Carol and Sam, and they wanted to know, we were talking about interest rates, and they wanted to know what points were. And you know, it's a question I get not a lot, but I do get periodically, and I thought that's a really good one to talk about on air. So what points are something you pay, you prepay interest. So let's say this is just an example. Because let's say you pay 1 point, 1 point might buy that mortgage rate down a quarter. So it might take it from, let's say, 3.5 to 3.25. That might be, you know, that would be a normal buy down. So you pay 1 point. 1 point would be 1% of the loan amount. So if you had a $100,000 loan and you paid 1 point, that'd be $1,000. And that might buy the rate down a quarter. You know, a lot of people think it's going to buy it, you know, you pay a point, you get a point off. That's not how it works. So, all day long we get pricing. So it changes, it can change constantly. And that can change also. You may have to pay a point to get a quarter off. You may only have to pay half a point, or you may have to pay 2 points. It just depends on the time, what the market looks like. And when you look at points, the other piece of this, so that's what points are. Points are you paying extra to get the rate lower. You're paying interest up front. But does it make sense to pay points is another piece to talk about. So there's things you have to consider. Number one would be how long you plan on having the mortgage. If you're paying points, it's going to take time to get that money back by the savings you generate on the lower payment by having a lower interest rate. So we have to look at that. How long is it going to take to recoup that money? And that's what you have to do, is you have to look at that and see how that, whether you're going to be there long enough to make that that risk worthwhile. Pay that, you're paying up front to save money later on. Is it really going to pay off? So that would be a consideration. Sometimes maybe you pay points to get the rate down, to get the payment down, to qualify. That rarely happens, but it could. So you just have to look at it and see what matters. When I do it, I put together the information. I put it together in if it's a refinance, a mortgage savings report, and if it's a purchase, I'll put together a total cost analysis report and show you what those things do if you want to look at pain points. Vast majority of time, it isn't necessarily the best thing to do because of the payback can be quite long. But again, if you know you're going to have the mortgage, you're going to have the mortgage for a long time, and you feel confident in that, then you just have to look at it and see what the payback is. And that's something we do. So what I'd suggest, just go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. From there, you can contact me, you can call me, you can email me. Has all my information there. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Come, and send me your questions. You can do the contact there. You can, like I said, call, you can email, and I will get back with you, and we'll discuss it. We'll run those numbers. We'll get you a report so you can look at it and see how it's going to lay out and whether that makes sense for you. It didn't for Carol and Sam. We went through the numbers and it just didn't make sense. And I would say that about 80% of the time it doesn't, but 20% of the time it does. And so you want to look at it to make sure it's something that, whether it's going to benefit you or not. I want to move on to it's an article that I read. I thought I would kind of go through it and explain it a little bit, but it's a deep dive in today's biggest buyer's concern. So if you're looking at buying a home, but I think this could be valuable, but I really think if you're thinking about selling a home, this could be something that could be very helpful to know, because it's what people are worried about and what they're thinking. And a lot of it is generated because of the media, and there's a lot of misinformation out there that the media puts out that we really have to worry about and we really have to consider when we're looking at this. So Fannie Mae released their home purchase sentiment index through the survey. Though the survey showed 77% of the respondents believed it's a good time to sell, it also confirmed what many are sensing: an increased number of Americans believe it's a bad time to buy. So it's a good time to sell, bad time to buy. Percentages of those surveys saying it's a bad time to buy hit 64%, up from 56% last month and 38% last July. So 64% of the respondents felt it was a bad time to buy. And I think that a lot of that bad time to buy is being generated by the news media talking about how, it's unaffordable. And this is kind of what they explained. Consumers also continue to cite high home prices as the predominant reason for their ongoing and significant divergence in sentiment towards home buying and home selling conditions. In other words, the difference between buying a home and selling a home and what they're thinking. While all survey segments have expressed greater negativity towards home buying over the last few months, renters who say they are planning to buy a home in the next few years have demonstrated an even steeper decline in home buying sentiment than homeowners. It's likely that affordability concerns are more greatly affecting those who aspire to be first-time homeowners than other consumer segments. But let's look at the numbers, and let's look at what the concerns are and why these things may not actually be may not be accurate. Mortgage payment is determined by the price of the home, the down payment, the mortgage rate, and then your taxes and your homeowner's insurance. All of that determines your mortgage payment. All right. And obviously the rate is a big part of that. Mortgage rates have increased since January, but they've only increased about a quarter of a percent. And that's 30-year fixed. The 15-year, I don't believe it has increased. I think it's the same. So they've increased about a quarter percent on the interest rate. You know, however, home prices have increased by 15.4% over the last 12 months. So the home prices have increased significantly over the last 12 months. All right, which you could say is a real negative to buying a home, but if they continue at that rate, it's a real negative not to buy a home if they increase at 15.4%. We don't expect it to stay in that range in Indiana. And ours is pretty close. I think it's 13.4% is what Indiana is. But, you know, we don't expect it to stay at that rate, but we do expect homes to continue to appreciate, just not at the huge increase that they're getting. Based on these rising factors, a home may be less affordable today, but it does not mean, it certainly doesn't mean it's not affordable. A few weeks ago, Adam Data released their second quarter 2021 U.S. home affordability report, which explains that the major homeowner cost on a typical home as a percentage of the average national wage has increased from 22.2% in the second quarter of 2020 to 25.2% in the second quarter of this year. Okay. Now, they also went on to explain that still the latest level is within the 28% standard lender preferred for how much homeowners should spend on a mortgage payment, homeowners insurance, property taxes. This is principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and even your homeowners association dues. And in the same report, Tom Tedda, chief product officer with Adam, confirmed average workers across the country can still manage the major expenses of owning a home based on lender standards. So what they're saying is that our percentage, what we call debt to income, and the housing debt to income ratio, and that's, we use the property taxes, homeowners insurance, principal and interest, any homeowners association dues, and any mortgage insurance. And we would like to see that number at 28%. But let's talk about the reality of things today. 28% is not a number that's stuck in stone. We can go much higher than that on a home, on a your front ratio or your home ratio. So it is something that we can go much higher on, but it all depends. Again, it all these things, there is no set, this is all you can do until you get to certain numbers. Like the top end ratio is set, it's all you can do, and it's 40, well, it depends on what kind of loan, but basically it's 50% or 57%, depending on conventional or FHA. So those numbers matter. It used to be 43% on a conventional. They gave us some leeway, so it's not for sure it's going to stay that way, but it is at 49.99% now. And so we can finance it, but the reality is that the average, what it's saying is the average based on the national wage, it's at 25.2. And that really means that homes are extremely affordable. Back in 2005, 6, 7, 8, that number was significantly higher. It was a little bit harder to tell exactly what it was because they did a lot of where they weren't taking incomes. But the basics are that it was much higher. We've seen those, you know, into the 40s, 40, you know, they would let it go, and it would be higher. So it's today we actually are getting, our homes are much more affordable than they have been. It's true that mortgage monthly payments are greater than they were last year based on that number. This is again from the article, but they're not unaffordable when compared to the last 30 years. While payments have increased dramatically during this several decade span, if we adjusted for inflation, today's mortgage payments are 10.7% lower than they were in 1990. So payments today are 10.7% lower than in the 1990s when they're adjusted for inflation. What that means, it's while you may not get the home buying deal someone might have got last year or 2 years ago, that doesn't mean you shouldn't still buy a home. Here are your alternatives to buying and the trade-offs you'll have with each. You know, number one alternative is you'll rent instead. So let's talk about rent. Some may consider renting as the better option. However, the monthly cost of renting a home is skyrocketing, according to the July National Rent Report from Apartment List. This is what they, from Apartment List, this is what they say. So far in 2021, rental prices have grown a staggering 9.2%. To put that in context, in previous years, growth from January to June is usually just 2 to 3%. After this month's spike, rents have been pushed well above our expectations of where they would have been had the pandemic not disrupted the market. If you continue to rent, chances are your rent will keep increasing at a fast pace. That means you can end up spending significantly more of your income on your rental as time goes on, which could make it even harder to save for a home. And you got to think about that. It could make it harder to save for a home. But when they're talking about a 9.2% increase in the payment, that is the total payment went up. When they talk about it in the house, we're talking about a much lower, you know, it went from 22.2 to 25.2. So it went up 3%. And this is going, rents are going up 9.2%. So rent is going up much, much faster. And as that goes up, obviously it takes money out of your pocket. So you can't save for your down payment for a home. So it is a good time. It's much less expensive to buy a home, in my opinion, and from what I'm seeing, to buy a home than it is to rent a home. Alternative number two, you'll wait it out. Others may, you know, there may be a lot of people considering waiting for another year and hoping that purchasing a home will be less expensive then, but let's look at those possibilities. This, again, is from the article. We're already established that a monthly mortgage payment is determined by the price of the home and the mortgage rate. A lower monthly payment would require one of those two elements to decrease over the next year. However, experts are forecasting the exact opposite. So if the mortgage rates are not going to decrease, they stay the same or go up, and the Mortgage Bankers Association projects mortgage rates will be at 4.2% by the end of next year. Now, I don't buy into that, but it's certainly something that could happen. The Home Price Expectation Survey, a survey of over 100 economists, investment strategists, and housing market analysts, calls for home prices to increase by 5.12% in 2022, much less than it has been, but still increasing. So based on those projections, it's just much more affordable to buy a home today. In fact, using a $350,000 home, 10% down payment, $350,000 today, that would be $367,920 next year, $35,000 down payment today, $36,792 down payment next year, a mortgage amount of $315 today, a mortgage amount next year of $331,128, an interest rate, just to use the interest rate of the expectations of what they are and the average of what they are today, and your payment goes up by $308. Bottom line, it is much better to buy a home today. Mark Fleming, the chief economist at First American, said it best, affordability is likely to worsen before it improves, so try to buy it now if you can find it. So that's really it. If you can find it, it's a good time to buy. I do appreciate everybody. You're joining me today. Please join me next Saturday at 3:30 as we talk about how to find the best contractor for your home remodeling.